Court will proceed to the second case of the day, Harmon v. Gordon. Mr. Borsia.
May it please the Court, my name is Jim Borsia. I represent Larry Harmon and Harmon Castillo. District Court erred in this case, entering summary judgment against my client. The parties in this case entered into a contract that clearly stated that the parties would provide, my client would provide services for the duration of the defendant's NBA playing career. The contract set out a specified compensation schedule for the first 4 years, and it was contemplated at that point after the 4 years there would be a renegotiation of the contract amount for services to be charged.
So, Mr. Borsia, let me direct your attention to what strikes me as maybe in the broad scheme of things a narrow issue, but it's one that's important to me, which is the final fourth year of that rookie contract. And although the district court concludes that it's a binding contract for the 4 years, so rejects your position that it's forever or throughout his playing career, what I'm concerned to find out is how, if at all, did you preserve the argument that your client was entitled to some measure of damages for that fourth year? Because as I understand it, Mr. Gordon stops paying in June of 2007, and there's one more year to run, and the district judge doesn't seem to think that there's any concrete evidence in the record to show what the damages would be.
Well, the district court didn't rule on the basis of damages. The district court ruled on the basis that the contract was not renewed.
Well, that you're not really answering my question. So what the district court says is that I'm looking at page 10 of the district court's opinion, which is the first one in your appendix. It says there's no material issue of fact. There's one contract intended to be enforced for 3, and if the Bulls exercise their option, 4 years. And the final sentence is, since no new contract between the parties was entered into, Gordon's legal obligations to continue paying Harmon ended in June 2008. Well, unless my math is wildly wrong, that's a year after he stopped paying, right? Because
right.
He stopped paying.
Correct.
So I want to know, did you argue to the district court judge that you were entitled to damages for that 1 year? What did you put before the district court that might have given it some basis to assess the damages for that 1 year?
Well, we moved for summary judgment ourselves, and we also filed a motion for summary. And we argued we were entitled to damages for that year, and we put in the contract amount. And remember, at this
point, and
what
did you put in for the contract amount?
Well, the testimony was at that point in time there was a percentage of income being charged to Mr. Gordon for the services on
right,
a monthly
basis. Right, that's the 1.5%.
And we had an affidavit submitted in terms of what that was and what Mr. Gordon's contract was.
So there was evidence before the district court of what 1.5% of Mr.
Yes.
Gordon's income for the year from June 07 to June 08.
And we didn't just stop there because our position was it continued on past that. But
well, I know.
That's
what I'm trying to get at, whether you were like going for the sky, you know, and saying it was
right.
forever or
right.
whether you had an alternative that focused only
yes.
on that 1 year.
Where do we find that? I've looked at your summary judgment papers, and I don't see you making this fallback argument that Judge Wood is asking about.
Well, it's not a fallback argument. The plaintiff, Mr. Gordon, didn't even argue in the district court. That wasn't his argument. His argument was not the contract was existing at that point in time and there are no damages. That came after the fact.
Well,
and that's what he's argued before your.
We've got a final judgment.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
And that gives you no relief. And the question is, look, you've got a decent argument on the merits for that fourth year for $6,000 a month, okay? In theory, the question is, did you bring that to the attention of the district court in a way that fairly gave Judge Koukouras notice that he needed to look at that issue.
Well,
show me in the district court record where you did that.
It's not $6,000 a month. Let me just clarify that, because remember, the parties had agreed to modify the contract.
Well, we'll get to that question in a minute.
Okay.
But it's at least $6,000. Okay.
Well, it's different, but I understand what you're saying. There was an affidavit from Mr. Harmon submitted with the summary judgment in terms of what the contract amount was, and then he also testified in the affidavit in terms of what the income was for Mr. Gordon during that time period, which would have been the driver for what the amount was. Remember, at that point in time, it was a percentage of his income.
Well, maybe.
Right, but,
maybe.
You know,
but let me try this again. I think what you're telling me is that there was evidence in the record from which the judge, if the issue had been called to his attention, could have figured out what damages for that fourth year should be, and then there probably would have been a failure to mitigate affirmative defense and so on, at least to reduce that amount. And the question is, did you ever bring that fourth year issue, where you had at least legs to stand on, to the district court's attention?
And I just want to, yes, we did.
But I want to know how clearly. I have the same question because, you know, you look at the district court's opinion, and, of course, it's not addressed at all in the district court's opinion, and it strikes me as exceedingly unlikely if somebody put on the table to the district judge, in the alternative, we want X dollars of damages for that final year, that he just would have tossed it in the waste.
The reason he doesn't discuss it is because Mr. Gordon didn't raise it. That was not a basis for his motion.
He moved for summary judgment across the board. If there was a basis for you to disagree with part of it in the alternative, you needed to bring that to the district judge's
attention.
See, Mr. Gordon's happy with no damages for the last year, so he's not the one who would be saying, oh, by the way, I should have to pay Harmon extra money.
Right.
It would have been you who had to say
right. But he didn't raise the argument, well, there is a specific period of time in the fourth year where we owe money. That was not one of his arguments.
Why would he want to raise that? That's your argument. Mr. Harmon would have to say, even though I want damages for all of Mr. Gordon's NBA career, at a minimum, I want damages for 07 to 08 in the amount of X dollars,
right,
which would have led, as Judge Hamilton said, to an adversary proceeding, I assume, in which Mr. Gordon might have said there's a duty to mitigate and maybe it wasn't that much of a loss, whatever. I don't know where it would have gone, but it never went anywhere.
Right. Well, I think the thing you have to keep in mind is the judge was dealing with the arguments put before him. Mr. Gordon did not make that argument.
Saying Mr. Gordon? It's not his argument.
Well, it is, because he moved for summary judgment.
He wants, and he gets summary judgment. Why?
Right.
Why? He doesn't want to have to pay you anything for that
Correct.
Year. And he's perfectly happy with this judgment in
right.
that
and,
sense.
And we moved for judgment as well, and our argument was, and we've put in evidence in the record through the affidavit of Mr. Harmon of what the damages were, not only after the fourth year, but in the fourth year. Of when he stopped paying us, what Mr. Gordon was making. In his affidavit, he attests to what the income was for Mr. Gordon and what he would have earned but for the breach of the contract with the termination of his agreement. That's in the record.
Are you relying on this Exhibit C, which that you submitted with B, the letter to Ben Gordon of the May 16th, 04.
That's the contract. In terms of the support, in the summary judgment papers, there was an affidavit submitted in terms of what the amount of income was and the damages were to Mr. Harmon by the breach of the contract.
But how do we get to the focus on the fourth year? Do we have to extract it from this submission?
Well, what you have to understand is that the fourth year, at that point in time, the parties had agreed, and Judge Koukouras had already ruled this. The parties had agreed to a modification of the contract, and the modification was, instead of what was provided in the letter agreement of $6,000 per month, the parties had agreed to a percentage of income.
No, that's what Exhibit C is talking about. Exhibit C comes up to 75,634.76 or something like that. But as Judge Flom said, were you just assuming that Judge Koukouras was going to look at this document and say, oh, well, here's a column for the 07-08 season, maybe I'll award them this?
Well, I guess the evidence was in the record. The issue that I have is we didn't – this was not something that they had raised in summary judgment. The argument in summary judgment was the contract was gone because once he terminated it,
right,
that he had no
he
rights
loses,
to any compensation.
He loses on that. We have the sentence that I read you in which the judge rules in Harmon's favor that there was a contract and the legal obligations of Gordon ended in June 2008. And then there's this mess in the record that we're trying to make some sense of.
It's not a mess. What it is just, this was not a trial. This was a summary judgment procedure.
So
where
it's
the
like
judge,
every other case we see. Yeah.
But summary judgment is different than trial. If this had been a trial, I understand your point. There should have been, but this was summary judgment where we were responding to specific arguments made on summary judgment.
Right.
The argument
and your
made by,
argument was there was a contract for a very long time, but you should have said to the judge, in the event you find the contract ended in June 2008 and it's just a four-year rookie contract, 3+1 or however you want to say, we are nonetheless entitled to, you know, approximately $76,000 in damages.
Well, that's in the record in
Why
terms
didn't
of...
Why did you say that?
Well,
did you not say that?
But that was not an argument that we had to address because it was never raised.
I think we've got your position on that.
And that's,
could I ask you,
sure.
Let's go back to an issue you referred to earlier. Where did Mr. Gordon expressly agree to modify the basis of the payments? And in particular, I understand there were emails sent to him saying we're doing this, and there are emails back saying I don't like this. Where did he agree to it?
Well, he agreed to it by his conduct. Contracts can be agreed to not just by words but by conduct. There was a period of time.
Well,
the
payments
emails
that were actually made, I understand, and I assume those were payments that Mr. Harmon made to himself through his control
with
an email notice.
With
to
notice
Mr.
to Mr. Gordon, correct.
Okay. But Mr. Gordon never actually said, yeah, I agree to switch to the 1.5%.
Well, I think that's true. Those words were not used, but by his conduct, by agreeing to the payments. And, in fact, in the prior case,
he was objecting, and Harmon kept saying, we'll talk about it, right?
Well,
how is that agreement to modify?
Well, it wasn't an objection until much later. 14 months later, now there's an objection. And this was an issue raised in the prior case. And Judge Koukouras ruled in the prior case that there was an agreement to the new payment method by conduct. And the conduct was 14 months of agreeing to this by his implicit action of not objecting to it, of being aware of the payments being made, and then 14 months later saying, I don't like this anymore.
Okay. Separate factual question. From the prior litigation over the real estate loan,
yes.
$1.3 million judgment. Has
yes.
that been paid?
It has not.
Okay. If I've got this straight, then, Mr. Harmon is saying, I have a fiduciary relationship with Mr. Gordon. I borrowed $1 million from him. He had to sue me. I fought that. I lost. He hasn't paid me. And he has a legal obligation to continue to trust me with his fiduciary financial affairs. Is that the position here?
Well, there's issues with respect to
the
real estate.
Is that the position?
Well, the position is part of the problem we have here is what Mr. Gordon did. Mr. Gordon didn't come out and say, you didn't pay me a loan back. What happened was when this lawsuit was filed, the allegation was that this was not a loan. This was a real estate investment.
And you all convinced
the
judge, no, this is a loan.
But
a loan that had never been paid back, right?
The problem is...
And still hasn't been paid back.
But the problem is, Judge, when the lawsuit gets filed and the allegations are read by the press, it says Mr. Harmon stole his money. So my client's business goes away.
And what's wrong with that conclusion since he hasn't paid 6 years later?
Because what was wrong with it is the allegation of the complaint was false. The allegation was this was not a loan. I never agreed to a loan. The allegation was this was an investment in real estate. So Mr. Gordon didn't tell the truth in his complaint, cast something different, and the press picked up on it and slandered my client, and my client's business went away because now people read, oh, here's a financial representative who has stolen this athlete's money.
And a reader and another potential client should feel better because he just borrowed $1 million and hasn't paid it back, even though the courts have ordered him to pay
it
back.
Is that right? The point time this came out, some of the funds had been paid back. There were interest payments being made, and this destroyed my client's business. And that's what happened here. And that's really what is about. Our reputation was destroyed by this. By the allegations in the first complaint, his reputation was destroyed. And Mr. Gordon made false accusations, false representations to the court. The claims were thrown out of breach of fiduciary duty. What more harm can you have to a financial representative than to claim that you breached your fiduciary duty? Those claims were tossed out. And my client, in the process, his reputation is gone. No one will go to him anymore if you're an athlete because you've read these allegations. And despite the fact they were proven to be not true, the allegations are you stole his money. And that's not true. Mr. Gordon went into this with his eyes wide open. He signed promissory notes. This was a loan all throughout.
That loan has been paid back. You say some has.
There was some interest payments made. I don't know the exact amount, Your Honor, but not a lot of it has been paid back.
No principal, though.
Correct.
And the judgment remains unpaid.
Correct. I think I'm in my rebuttal time. Thank you.
To Mr. Katz.
Morning, Your Honors. Jeff Katz, and sitting with me, Kat Walker, on behalf of Ben Gordon. I'd like to start by addressing a few points that Mr. Borsha raises. Number one, Judge Koukouras, in one of his, there's about three orders that are pertinent here, does find that Mr. Gordon neither affirmatively agreed nor accepted the sort of change in fee structure from the flat fee structure to the percentage structure. Mr. Borsha suggests that Mr. Gordon sort of sat on the percentage change, and at some point a year, I'm not sure what exactly he said later, Gordon started raising issues with us. This isn't true, and this isn't the record. Mr. Harmon came to Mr. Gordon in May of 2006, suggested the percentage change structure, and then only a few months later, August of 2006, and you can see this in the record, there are numerous emails. There's three particular emails where Mr. Harmon suggests that we will discuss this later. In each one of those emails, he suggests that we'll discuss this later.
There are two points. I distinctly recall that Judge Koukouras does find that there's agreement by conduct. He's getting the notice month after month after month, and maybe in the first month he doesn't know, or the second month, but there's agreement by conduct. But my second question for you is, in your brief, you state that this final year that's worrying me about the rookie contract is left untouched by the district judge because you say that the district judge said, quote, Harmon had not established actual damages to any reasonable degree of certainty. And I cannot find that in Judge Koukouras' order. So if you can tell me where it is, I would be much obliged.
Judge, I'm not sure I can do that. The only thing I can do is point you to the agreement between the parties where it suggests.
Well, it makes a difference to me. If the judge actually said that, that's a clue to me that something is brought to the judge's attention. If the judge didn't say that, then it doesn't belong in your brief. Does the judge ever say anything about the measure of, why it is, even though he finds that the contract is good until June of 2008, he's not going to award Harmon any damages for that final year when that Exhibit C, to which Judge Flom referred, is right there in the record. You can see the $76,000. What's happening here?
Judge, that's a good question. And that goes back to, I think, a point Judge Hamilton raised, whether it was a percent, whether the last year was going to be a percentage deal or whether it was going to be the hourly $6,000 deal and whether the percentage deal would sort of be less. Judge, I do not see it in the order, so I apologize.
What's your position on damages then?
Here's the position on damages. These guys tried to hit the home run on damages, and they claimed that they were entitled to $1.2 million for the duration of Ben's playing career. They sort of projected it out.
I appreciate that. But as to this fourth year,
My position on the fourth year is that they didn't do any work, and it's in the agreement that says our fee for these services will be based on the amount of actual time spent on your account at standard billing rates, and it goes on. Our position is that he didn't do anything after he was terminated by Mr. Gordon.
I'm troubled by the legal argument here, Mr. Katz, because your reasoning seems to be that, for example, if a person is hired to provide services for 1 year and the employer terminates early without good cause, mm-hmm. That the employee has no claim for damages mm-hmm. because he didn't continue to work. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the law. Mm-hmm. There's a potential defense of failure to mitigate if you don't try to get another job in a reasonable right. time, et cetera. But there's not a complete bar to damages.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
I don't think that this was something that Kokoris got into, sort of Gordon's ability to terminate, okay? I think that what Judge Kokoris did is looked at the agreement, said it was limited to a rookie agreement, that said that the extrinsic evidence, even though the agreement is you know, I don't know what word he uses. He doesn't use ambiguous. He uses another word. But he says all of the parties' conduct points to the fact that it was just a rookie agreement, and we're leaving it at that. As far as the damages, I understand the court's point and see that Judge Kokoris does only sort of deal with the $1.2 million issue and doesn't deal with the $70,000 or $60,000 issue that may be remaining to the extent there's a claim that Gordon owes Harmon for the 12 months after the period of time in which Gordon terminated Harmon and Gordon's rookie contract ended.
And I have to say, with respect to that, it seems to me that this is a point that Mr. Harmon has raised and raised in the district court and has certainly raised in his briefing here. So I'm not quite ready to say there's been any kind of waiver of that point. If you can tell me.
I don't see. I mean, this was a question that you raised with Mr. Borsha. I don't see in the record where he raised the sort of fall pack position. It's my contention that they tried to hit the home run. $1.2 million in damages, and they project Ben's sort of future earnings out, you know, not just his deal that he had with the Pistons, but the next deal he would have and the next deal after that. That's what they tried to do. There's no mention of the fallback position. The damages between July of 07 and June of 08 are either the $6,000 a month or whatever percentage it may be. At my contention, and I think Judge Kokoris deals with it in his opinion, is that the percentage deal is actually less than the monthly amount. So I don't think that's dealt with in the record, Judge.
I don't know. I mean, if you look at Harmon's response to the defendant's motion for summary judgment, there's a footnote, at least, that seems to raise it. So would you agree that if we find that it's been raised, then further proceedings would be necessary
on
this point?
I think that you'd have to find that, and in accordance with the agreement, that he's entitled to a fee for his services based on work that he performed sort of after the termination. I mean, this is what the agreement calls for.
No, but if it was unlawfully, inappropriately terminated, the judge finds the agreement lasts all the way until June of 08. One could dispute whether the original $6,000 per month is the right number or the 1.5%, but there's some number that is due to Mr. Harmon.
That's fine, and I think this is a point both you raised and Judge Hamilton raised, something unlawful, and that wasn't something that Judge Kokoris dealt with.
Well, sort of he says the contract is good until 08.
I understand, but it doesn't
a
sort
breach.
Of...
breach. Mr. Gordon breaches the contract in June of 07.
Right, but it doesn't sort of deal with his sort of, you know, the lawfulness of
it
that.
It drops the ball. Well, it's a contract breach. We can quibble about whether we want to call that unlawful.
Okay.
It's,
okay.
It's not.
I mean, Gordon terminated his agent as a result of a $1 million promissory note that wasn't repaid. That's
what,
why.
What was that again?
He terminated his agent, Mr. Harmon, because the promissory note wasn't repaid. That's what resulted in the litigation starting in 2007.
But that may be his motivation. But we have a judge who concludes that for a 12-month period, a breach occurred. Wouldn't you think it's important we find out what that breach? I understand you keep mentioning the home run, and of course that's a way to categorize the.
Right.
But. They may have fallen well short of the home run.
That's right. Then we can go.
I'm not saying $75,000 is a bunt single as against the $1.3 million, but why don't we remand to find that out?
To do that, I mean, Judge. I mean, and then there could be set off issues. I mean, I can tell you the amount of the judgment. The judgment was entered in January of 2010. The amount that's been paid on that is $10,000. Okay, Judge?
I understand the overall equities you're speaking about, but we're dealing with this appeal from this particular case.
I understand. My point on that issue, Judge, is that he didn't earn it because, in accordance with the agreement, he didn't perform any services. But I understand your point, Judge.
I understand that.
Okay. The other point I'd like to address, and this is something Mr. Borsha raised at the end, is sort of one of slander. This isn't a slander case. They filed a tortious interference claim. They filed that in the initial 2007 Gordon versus Harmon lawsuit. That was dismissed. That was a final adjudication on the merits. They did absolutely nothing about it, and then they recast it under Illinois law this time. The first time they did it under California law, they recast it under Illinois law. This is not a slander case. I mean, and this also sort of goes to the malicious prosecution. I think part of their argument on the malicious prosecution count is that Mr. Harmon's been damaged by virtue of an NBA player filing a lawsuit. Well, Mr. Gordon can't sort of control what's been put out there. And then there's the other issue that, you know, and the cases that are cited in the brief sort of say, you know, the reputational loss or the loss of potential third-party clients. I mean, he doesn't indicate any sort of identifiable third-party clients have been lost. He just sort of says my general reputation has been harmed, Judge. With that, I'd take any other questions and rest on the briefs, Judge.
Thank you, Mr. Katz.
Appreciate it.
Mr. Borsha?
For counsel to say that Mr. Gordon can't control what's put out there is crazy. He filed a lawsuit. He made the allegations. He accused Mr. Harmon of stealing his money and of breaching his fiduciary.
It's a lawsuit, and there's this payment of money. And I assure you, this would not be the first time that the proper characterization of a payment of money, whether as an investment or a loan, was something that was up in the air enough that it was okay for one side to say that it was one thing and the other side to say, no, it wasn't, it was another thing. I don't see anything, you know, that triggers the law of defamation about the fact that such a lawsuit was filed.
I think the issue was, and the way it was cast in the first complaint, is he claimed basically he was duped. He thought he was investing in an equity position in real estate, but he actually was a loan, and he signed loan agreements. But I don't think that's a big issue in this appeal. Mr. Katz brought up the issue of him not agreeing to the 1.5%. That's already been decided. There's collateral estoppel there. The first lawsuit, Judge Krikoris, as Your Honor noted, did find that he agreed to the change in the fee structure. He never appealed that ruling. That issue's over. So that's collateral estoppel. In terms of the one issue we haven't really talked about very much is the issue of beyond the fourth year. You know, it's our position that this contract went beyond just 4 years. It was a contract for the duration of Mr. Gordon's NBA playing career. And the issue that they've raised is, well, there was no agreement on the financial terms for after the fourth year. That's not required. The law will imply with professional services that if you don't agree on a specific compensation term, that the court will apply a reasonable term. In this case, the parties agreed before the 4 years ran out to what the compensation structure would be, the 1.5%. There was no limitation on that. And so that's the percentage that should exist throughout the entirety of Mr. Gordon's playing career. The parties agreed to the 1.5% by conduct. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Borsha. Thank you, Mr. Katz, counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed.